Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ana Mateo.
And I'm Brian Lynn. This program is aimed at English learners. So we speak slowly, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English. Today on the show, Andrew Smith brings us Ask a Teacher. Ana Mateo has words and their stories. And we close with an American story. But first, Mario Ritter Jr. has this report.
In South Korea's capital of Seoul, Bukchon Hanok Village's narrow winding alleyways date back hundreds of years to the Joseon Dynasty. The area has become a popular place to visit, especially after appearing in a television show about 10 years ago. Foreign visitors and Koreans visit the neighborhood to see houses with wood columns, courtyards, and tiled roofs. The area attracted about 6 million visitors last year, while the population of the area is around 6,100. However, increasing numbers of visitors have become a problem for people who live there. They complain about noise, trash, bad behavior, and invasion of privacy. Some visitors have been caught on camera trying to enter private homes or looking inside without permission, creating conflict with locals. Many local people have chosen to leave, leading to a 27.6% drop in the village's population over the past 10 years. Village officials now want to set a curfew in the area. The curfew will limit visitors to certain areas of Bukchon from 5 p.m. to 10 a.m. local time. It will start as a trial in November and will be officially launched next March. Violators could pay fines of up to $72. Chung Moon Hun is the head of Jongno District. Chung said the goal is to protect the rights of local people. Chung said the curfew can be changed if necessary to make it more effective. The area where curfew hours and fines will be in effect is about 34,000 square meters. That is about the size of 5 soccer fields. Kwon Yong-du owns the private Asian Cultural Art Museum in Bukchon, Hanok Village. Kwon is concerned about the curfew policy aimed at preventing visitors from overrunning the area. "Who would want to visit?" asked Kwon, who moved into the historic area 18 years ago. "They'll leave with a bad impression of South Korea." Others do not believe the policy will be effective. They note measures such as exemptions for visitors staying overnight in traditional houses called hanok. Many of these hanok are now owned by businesses after officials loosened restrictions on overnight stays. "People come for just a day to enjoy themselves, and the noise from parties is extremely loud," said Kim Yun-mi, who lives next to a hanok. Clearing trash in the front of her home has become a task she has to perform several times a day. "It's often difficult to maintain a normal daily routine due to disturbances," She said people often make noise, moving their suitcases around, even in the early hours, which wakes her up. Lee Dong-woo is head of the website butler.lee, which is used to rent the hanoks. Lee said the business grew when owners who found it difficult to modernize or maintain old houses turned them over to businesses. These requests are driving the expansion, not because we are actively evicting current residents to operate hanok stays, Lee said. Lee oversees 17 hanok stays in Bukchon. Visitors are divided over the curfew. Some agree locals' quality of life is important. Others are unhappy at the idea of getting fined for simply walking down a public street. There are also questions about how the rules will be enforced, how to tell visitors from locals, how to make foreigners pay a fine, and how to deal with the language barrier. I'm Mario Ritter Jr.
Hello. This week on Ask a Teacher, we answer a question from Zechariah in Turkey about listening to English. Dear teacher, when I practice listening, I focus a lot and do a lot of repetitions. After a while, I realized that I was actually memorizing the audio recording instead of practicing listening. How do you think I should do an ideal listening exercise? Thank you, Zechariah. I'm happy to answer this question, Zechariah. There is not one ideal listening exercise. Instead, there are several good ways to improve your listening. The repetitions you are doing can be necessary and helpful for you to understand what you hear. And repetitions likely help you remember new words and how to pronounce them. But let's look at more ways you can practice listening. First, try to find listening material that is just a bit above your ability. This will help you learn new words without making it too difficult for you. It is best to listen to English material that has words written either in captions or in the body text, such as a VOA Learning English article. This will help check your listening. You can test yourself by first listening to parts of the audio without reading the words. Note the main ideas and the things you clearly understood. Then, listen to it again and try to understand more details. This is when you can do shorter repetitions. Next, you can check how much you understood by reading the words as you listen to the audio again. One of the best ways to practice listening is by writing every word you hear. This is called transcribing. Even with audio examples as short as 1 minute, you can learn a lot of English using this method. For example, if you are transcribing an interview, you might notice differences between spoken English and written English. By transcribing, you can notice and learn new expressions, grammar rules, and spelling. This method also helps make new words stay in your memory when you read them. That is because you are discovering the answer to a problem you have already tried to solve through listening. Try listening to English spoken at different speeds. Over time, you can follow spoken English at a faster speed. Many videos online let you increase or decrease the speed of playback. Practice listening to English spoken in different foreign accents. This is a useful skill because English is spoken in so many places around the world. Center your listening on specific sounds or grammatical points. For example, preposition use in English can be difficult. Try listening for prepositions and the words they connect with. This can help you use them correctly in your speaking and writing. Remember that, like any skill, you can improve listening by practicing often and having detailed plans for the methods you will use. For our readers and listeners, what are your questions about American English? We'd like to hear from you. Send us an email at learningenglish@voanews.com. And please include where you are from in your email, too. And that's Ask a Teacher. I'm Andrew Smith.
VOA Learning English has launched a new program for children. It is called Let's Learn English with Anna. The new course aims to teach children American English through asking and answering questions and experiencing fun situations. For more information, visit our website, learningenglish.voanews.com. And now, words and their stories from VOA Learning English. Laws help to keep society running smoothly. They help to keep things in order. So when we talk about law and order, we are talking about how crime should be kept under control and how society should run. The term law and order includes how police enforce laws and how the judicial system deals with criminals. Law and order also describes a situation where most people respect and obey laws. They want to feel safe and to have a sense of public order. Sometimes people use the term to describe a political candidate. For example, if a city has problems with crime, candidates for public office might run a law and order campaign. They promise to put policies in place that reduce crime. Now, when we talk about catching criminals, we can use another expression. The long arm of the law. This describes the ability of police to find and catch people who commit crimes. It further describes the power of law enforcement and the legal system to punish criminals and carry out justice. So the long arm of the law is the far-reaching power of police and the legal system. For example, criminals who are on the run are unlikely to escape the long arm of the law forever. If they make one mistake, they might get caught. Now let's talk about non-criminals. Sometimes people might do things that they do not know are illegal. For example, A prank or practical joke played on a friend might seem harmless, but in the eyes of the law, it might actually be illegal. When we say, in the eyes of the law, we mean what a law actually says and how people who enforce the law understand it. That leads us to another expression. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. If we are ignorant of something, we don't know about it. However, simply not knowing if an action is illegal doesn't matter in the eyes of the law. The long arm of the law will still reach out and uphold the law. Then we might find ourselves on the wrong side of the law. And that's a bad place to be. Being on the wrong side of the law means we have broken a law, or worse, laws. So if we want to be upstanding, law-abiding citizens and avoid the long arm of the law, we should stay on the right side of the law. And that's the end of this Words and Their Stories. Until next time, I'm Ana Mateo.
Now, the Learning English Program, American Stories. This week, Shep O'Neill brings us The Telltale Heart by Edgar Allan Poe.
True. Nervous. Very, very nervous I had been, and am. But why will you say that I am mad? The disease had sharpened my senses, not destroyed them. Above all, it was the sense of hearing. I heard all things in the heaven and in the earth. I heard many things in the underworld. How then am I mad? Observe how healthily, how calmly I can tell you the whole story. It is impossible to say how first the idea entered my brain. I loved the old man. He had never wronged me. He had never given me insult. For his gold, I had no desire. I think it was his eye. Yes, it was this. He had the eye of a bird, a vulture. A pale blue eye with a film over it. Whenever it fell on me, my blood ran cold. And so, very slowly, I made up my mind to take the life of the old man and free myself of the eye forever. Now, this is the point. You think that I am mad. Madmen know nothing. But you should have seen me. You should have seen how wisely and carefully I went to work. I was never kinder to the old man than during the whole week before I killed him. And every night, late at night, I turned the lock of his door and opened it, oh, so gently. And then, when I had made an opening big enough for my head, I put in a dark lantern, all closed, that no light shone out. And then I stuck in my head. I moved it slowly, very slowly, so that I might not interfere with the old man's sleep. And then, when my head was well in the room, I undid the lantern just so much that a single thin ray of light fell upon the vulture eye. And this I did for 7 long nights, but I found the eye always closed. And so it was impossible to do the work, for it was not the old man who was a problem for me, but his evil eye. On the eighth night, I was more than usually careful in opening the door. I had my head in and was about to open the lantern when my finger slid on a piece of metal and made a noise. The old man sat up in bed, crying out, "Who's there?" I kept still and said nothing. I did not move a muscle for a whole hour. During that time, I did not hear him lie down. He was still sitting up in the bed, listening, just as I have done, night after night. Then I heard a noise, and I knew it was the sound of human terror. It was the low sound that arises from the bottom of the soul. I know the sound well. Many a night, late at night, when all the world slept, it has welled up from deep within my own chest. I say I knew it well. I knew what the old man felt, and I felt sorry for him, although I laughed to myself. I knew that he had been lying awake ever since the first noise when he had turned in the bed. His fears had been, ever since, growing upon him. When I had waited a long time, without hearing him lie down, I decided to open a little, a very, very little crack in the lantern. So I opened it. You cannot imagine how carefully, carefully. Finally, a single ray of light shot from out and fell full upon the vulture eye. It was open, wide, wide open, and I grew angry as I looked at it. I saw it clearly, all a dull blue with a horrible veil over it that chilled my bones. But I could see nothing else of the old man's face or person, for I had directed the light exactly upon the damned spot. And have I not told you that what you mistake for madness is but a kind of oversensitivity? Now, there came to my ears a low, dull, quick sound, such as a watch makes when inside a piece of cotton. I knew that sound well, too. It was the beating of the old man's heart. It increased my anger, but even yet I kept still. I hardly breathed. I held the lantern motionless. I attempted to keep the ray of light upon the eye, but the beating of the heart increased. It grew quicker and quicker and louder every second. The old man's terror must have been extreme. The beating grew louder, I say, louder every moment. And now, at the dead hour of the night, in the horrible silence of that old house, so strange a noise as this excited me to uncontrollable terror. Yet for some minutes longer I stood still, but the beating grew louder, louder. I thought the heart must burst, and now a new fear seized me. The sound would be heard by a neighbor. The old man's hour had come. With a loud shout, I threw open the lantern and burst into the room. He cried once, once only. Without delay, I forced him to the floor and pulled the heavy bed over him. I then smiled to find the action so far done. But for many minutes, the heart beat on with a quiet sound. This, however, did not concern me. It would not be heard through the wall. At length, it stopped. The old man was dead. I removed the bed and examined the body. I placed my hand over his heart and held it there many minutes. There was no movement. He was stone dead. His eye would trouble me no more. If still you think me mad, you will think so no longer when I describe the wise steps I took for hiding the body. I worked quickly, but in silence. First of all, I took apart the body. I cut off the head and the arms and the legs. I then took up three pieces of wood from the flooring and placed his body parts under the room. I then replaced the wooden board so well that no human eye, not even his, could have seen anything wrong. There was nothing to wash out, no mark of any kind, no blood whatever. I had been too smart for that. A tub had caught all. When I had made an end of these labors, it was 4 o'clock in the morning. As a clock sounded the hour, there came a noise at the street door. I went down to open it with a light heart, for what had I now to fear? There entered three men, who said they were officers of the police. A cry had been heard by a neighbor during the night. Suspicion of a crime had been aroused. Information had been given at the police office, and the officers had been sent to search the building. I smiled, for what had I to fear? The cry, I said, was my own in a dream. The old man, I said, was not in the country. I took my visitors all over the house. I told them to search well. I led them at length to his room. I brought the chairs there and told them to rest. I placed my own seat upon the very place under which lay the body of the victim. The officers were satisfied. I was completely at ease. They sat, and while I answered happily, they talked of common things. But after a while, I felt myself getting weak and wished them gone. My head hurt, and I had ringing in my ears. But still they sat and talked. The ringing became more severe. I talked more freely to do away with the feeling, but it continued until at length I found that the noise was not within my ears. I talked more, and with a heightened voice, yet the sound increased, and what could I do? It was a low, dull, quick sound like a watch makes when inside a piece of cotton. I had trouble breathing, and yet the officers heard it not. I talked more quickly, more loudly, but the noise increased. I stood up and argued about silly things in a high voice and with violent hand movements, but the noise kept increasing. Why would they not be gone? I walked across the floor with heavy steps, as if excited to anger by the observations of the men, but the noise increased. What could I do? I swung my chair and moved it upon the floor, but the noise continually increased. It grew louder, 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 and still the men talked pleasantly and smiled. Was it possible they heard not? No, no, they heard. They suspected. They knew. They were making a joke of my horror. This, I thought, and this, I think. But anything was better than this pain. I could bear those smiles no longer. I felt I must scream or die. And now, again, louder, louder, louder. Villains, I cried, pretend no more. I admit the deed. Tear up the floorboards. Here, here, it is the beating of his hideous heart.
And that's all the time we have for today's show. But join us again tomorrow for another VOA Learning English program. Thanks for listening. I'm Brian Lynn.
And I'm Anna Mateo.